following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
I found myself in a unique situation last winter of deciding if it was time to pursue my dream of playing in the NFL.
Option play near side. Pitch back to Amir. He gets a nice shield block on the edge. Amir to the 40, 35, first down, 30. Amir cutting back to the middle field, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. Amir dives. Touchdown, Nebraska. What a spectacular run by Amir Abdullah.
I've come to realize that life is bigger than football and that my chances of long-term success in life will be greatly enhanced by completing my college education.
Hands it off left side. Amir blasting around the corner. 25, Amir 30, 35, 40. Amir to midfield. Abdullah racing down the far boundary. 30, 25. Ripped out of bounds and around the 20-yard line. You asked for it. There it is. Big play, Huskers.
It is truly an honor to play for this program, to represent the N, and to one day walk across that stage with my diploma in hand.
So now 4th and 15, here's the game. 33 seconds left. Kellogg gets the snap. Steps up to avoid the rush. Looking downfield, avoids another rush. Has a man open in the flat, throws it out to Abdullah. Makes a catch at the 35, and he's got the first down to the 40-yard line.
I'm Amir Abdullah, and I play for Nebraska.
Trips to the near side. Kellogg gets a shotgun snap. Final play of the game. Ron waiting for the wideouts to get downfield. Launches the throw down toward the goal line. Going up. Ball tipped in the air.
Caught. Touchdown. Jordan Westerkamp. Nebraska wins the game on the final play of the contest. Oh, baby.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. What a scene in Lincoln, baby.
Nebraska will snap the ball a length of the football away from the goal line. And they want to throw. What a play call. Anunua. He's going to go 99 yards. Holy cow, what a call.
Frazier adding more numbers, more yards to those.
Oh, they don't have them yet. Look at Tommy Frazier. How many tackles can one man break? Touchdown.
Going to Kenny Bell. Going to make the catch at the 1. Kenny to the 10, 15, 25. Kenny to the 30. He's got some room. Kenny Bell to the 40. Kenny Bell's got one man to beat the kicker. To the 50, to the 40, to the 35, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Nebraska. A 98-yard kickoff return for Kenny Bell.
They're going to put it down, yep, at the 47-yard line. If he were to hit it, it'll go in the books as the longest in school history. This is an attempt of 57 yards. Does he have enough? Is it long enough? He got it!
Sam Fultz gets a good snap. Good boomy kick. This one's sailing towards the end zone. Bounces at the 3. Takes a Husker hop. Huskers will down it inside the 5. Sam Burch scooped it up and held on to it at the 1-yard line. Terrific punt of 52 yards.
Eric Crouch pumps once. Is in trouble. Eludes a tackle. Gets out of the end zone. He's to the 5. He's to the 10. Crouch to the 15. Out across the 20. Crouch to the 25. Out across the 30. 35, 40. Look out. He could go. He's to the 40. He's to the 30. He's to the 20. He's to the 10. He's all the way.
Sumner gets a shotgun snap, throws over the middle, intercepted, picked off Randy Gregory, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, a pick six for big old Randy Gregory. Back in the pocket, steps up, beginning rush, getting hit, getting dropped with a 25, he'll lose six more. Jared Crick gets another sack, his 9th of the year and his 6th in 2 weeks.
Michigan with a ball thrown, 39-yard line. Gardner turns, straight handoff to Green, hit the backfield, Huskers, Corey Cooper drills him, he loses 2 yards.
Phillips up the middle, explodes, 20, cuts to the right, and Phillips is out of bounds at the 11-yard line.
Zone read, handoff to Cross, big hole, 45-40, 35-30, Amani 25-20, 15-10-5, touchdown Amani Cross, oh baby!
Rodgers takes the ball at the 30, he's hit and got away, back upfield to the 35, to the 40, he's to the 45, he's to the 50, to the 45, to the 40, to the 35, to the 20, to the 10, he's all the way home!
And a snap to Tommy and they give him the trap play and it's Schlesinger inside the 5, and there for the touchdown, he's got the touchdown, it's the touchdown for Corey Schlesinger, it is history, 13-0, and
good Friday morning, a football Friday on the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you in studio, and glad you're with us for the weekend. Are you getting any kind of nervous about Husker Saturday tomorrow? I read that they beat, just a rereading this morning, that they beat South Florida, Division I team, 56-20 last year, ranked 6th in the FCS. We'll give our predictions a little bit later on in the program, but Jimmy, for me, it comes down to it's McNeese's first game. I think if they had played another game against someone of their caliber in the FCS, I'd give them a little bit better chance of being competitive at some point in this football game. I know my prediction is not going to be all that close, more than the spread was last week. I know at the beginning of the year you said it was like a 30-point spread for those that find a way to put that out there, but I think that's pretty accurate.
Yeah, let's be honest about that. They don't have a very good chance coming into Lincoln. I mean, these things do happen. Yeah. There have been some upsets, that have happened. And Nebraska maybe is the type of team, what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a team that's ranked from 15th to like 25th in the nation. Those people have a better chance of getting upset than the top five teams in the nation, somebody that's really dominant and can just take care of business. But this would be one of the biggest upsets of all time in Nebraska history, of course, if this would take place.
Well,
let's be honest about that.
It can happen. Appalachian State, Michigan is the benchmark. You can't give me the North Dakota States. I guess you can, because you get the Kansas State game, that's significant. And I don't remember Kansas State maybe was in the 24-25 range in the country where they were rated when they beat them. But, beating an Iowa State, a Minnesota, a Kansas, a lower tier BCS school, that's great for North Dakota State, because many people believe they're a top 50 school in the country if they were in Division I. Maybe not week in and week out, but that they could beat most of the teams 50 and below. So it can always happen. We don't know enough about McNeese State, their talent, and things can bounce their way. But there's a difference between an upset, a 10-point game, and a 40-point blow.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, and here's the thing of it is, too. I believe a couple years ago, Middle Tennessee State came in to Lincoln, and it was 14-7 at halftime. And they hit about a 90-yard pass play and played really good on defense. And Nebraska turned the ball over a few times and just wasn't really on all cylinders. And then I think that thing ended up, Doug, if I'm not mistaken, like 42-7 or something like that. So those things can happen. But, boy, it just would be a huge upset. And they really don't have a couple. I don't think the McNeese State has a couple of NFL players. And you kind of need those type of guys to pull that upset off. I mean, when Central Florida came in one time, they had that Culpepper, Donnie Culpepper, and they played him pretty tough. And no one knew about this kid. Who's this guy? Who's this guy? But he really kind of carried him and did some things well. So I just don't see it happening.
And McNeese State, remember last week, Florida Atlantic's defense last year was pretty good. And they had a nice quarterback who got knocked out early in the game, which obviously from their standpoint made a difference. McNeese State's defense was not that good last year, even though they have their leading tackler returning. They're more maybe of an offensive threat, so we'll see how it all plays out. Tomorrow, 11 o'clock is a go time, and the game will be on the Breeze, 94.5, 6 a.m. pregame, and of course, we will also have ESPNU televising the contest, so we'll talk about that a little bit more as the show progresses. Coming up in our next segment, we'll talk Tri-City Storm Hockey with head coach Jim Holton. Later on in the show, Mike Mandelko of Lexington going into the Nebraska Football Hall of Fame. One of those things where, Jimmy, you say Mandelko, you think of his kids, his daughters, Hannah and Haley, and his boy Jake, who's at the university right now and did some really great things at Lexington, but they had some pretty good stock there from old dad, who was all-conference as a part of the pipeline in 82 and in the early 80s.
Don't forget about mom either, though. I mean, there was a good pipeline both ways, but you're exactly right. All of his children were really good athletes, and himself, did a great job at the University of Nebraska.
Also, our Super Bowl and playoff predictions, playoffs and Super Bowl. I can't say I'm overly surprised. Seattle's scoring points now. That's dangerous. They went a lot of last year without scoring a lot of points. Their defense did a lot of good things. They held Green Bay in check. Sorry to all the Green Bay fans, to Steve Anderson, who co-hosted with me yesterday, to Green Bay John, who emails the program from once in a while. But again, one game does not the season make. Although, interesting stats. I had a team that I was about ready to put in the Super Bowl, and I'm not sure if I will after seeing this stat today, where preseason doesn't mean a lot until you go to the numbers and see teams that were 0-4 in the preseason and teams that are 4-0 and the percentage of those teams that made the playoffs. In fact, Jimmy, I wrote it down so I wouldn't forget. Teams that have started 0-4 in the preseason, 9 of 59 have went to the playoffs. And teams that have went 4-0, 57% of those teams have went to the playoffs. And what was it, the Giants, the Vikings, and somebody else that you wouldn't even think about being in the playoffs went 4-0, and there were a couple of teams that maybe you thought were playoff contenders went 0-4. So we'll do that. We'll make our Super Bowl picks, plus Pigskin Pick'em. Congratulations to Sam last week. As we said on Tuesday's show, he knocked us off in week one. And Jimmy, slow start for you, buddy. 1-5.
Yeah, that was a tough week. And, you know, my job on this show is to try to get people winners. So I feel really bad about that. I don't feel bad about giving people Navy. The Navy-Ohio State game, you ended up being a loser. But my job is to try to get you the correct side of it.
And I'm just glad you're back. Because you called me over the weekend, said, do you even want me to come back in?
Exactly.
Am I welcome? I said,
yeah.
I said, don't show up Monday. That's what I said. I said, don't show up Monday. Of course, we didn't have a show. But, you know, I'm glad to have you back, and I know you're gonna rebound.
Right, and the thing of it is, I'm not like a host every day, so no one got any of my Thursday picks. You know, and everybody know who I took last night. Anybody that knows me at all knows who I would take. A home team, Texas San Antonio, at home against Arizona.
Weeks in a row, yeah. Texas San Antonio has brought you the cage.
Yeah, and you know, I'll tell you what, you know, Coker's their coach, but it, you know, I'll tell you what, you know, when you go through this eye test on a Thursday night, when you get a home team that is playing an upper division team, and there's one of those I've got for us on Saturday, but boy, if those games are Thursday night, those are really good people. So when you get those underdogs and you get those college football teams that don't always get to host these people, when they get to host sometime, boy, they're really good on those Thursday night games and those off nights when they're the only game on.
Now, hindsight's 20/20, and I did say yesterday that we would make our picks today, and last night's game would have no effect on that. I said I am picking Seattle to make the playoffs, so that hasn't changed, obviously. But be honest with me, I thought the line was a little too short, so I would have picked Seattle to cover last night. I know you're a dog guy. Did you have any interest in it?
Yeah, not very much, just because of the fact that I think there's three teams, and I said this last year, I think the best three teams in professional football are all in the same league, and that's San Francisco, Seattle, and the Arizona Cardinals. I think those are the top three teams, plus who was the home team last night on a Thursday night? I mean, you know, if that game's in Green Bay, you know, I probably would take the Packers, you know, and even if it was even. And that's probably what it would have been. I'd probably about a pick'em game if Green Bay would have been at home.
Changing gears here for just a moment before we head into our first break. If you can feel good about 31-7, I guess I feel good about 31-7 last night. The UNK football team lost 31-7. Northwest Missouri State had been blowing everybody out last year, had virtually everybody back except their quarterback, and the Bulls kid from Lincoln stepped up and had a good game last night. This game is 7-7. The Lopers play them very tight in the first half. Their lack of depth showed, although there was no scoring in the last quarter and a half, and not because Northwest Missouri State was laying on the ball. They were still trying to pass the ball, trying to move the ball. UNK just couldn't get enough going. Only 27 yards through the air. That's never, ever, ever, ever going to get it done. Of course, it's not like whichever Division II team had minus 100 total yards last night and got beat 71-0. There was another score that was, 98-40 or something last night. But the Lopers, down 17-7 at the half, gave them a short field on a turnover for the second touchdown. Then they chip in a field goal. And then Northwest Missouri scores. The Lopers fumble the kickoff, short field. It's 31-7 with about 9 minutes to go in the third quarter. And that ends up being the final score. And Tyke Kojal, 14 tackles leading the way for the Lopers. Dexter Becker had 10 tackles. Even the punter, Davis Brendel, had a good night last night. So the Lopers did a lot of good things, but you're walking into the Lions' den. And Washburn was up 24-7 last night, lost 44-38. That's who the Lopers have a home opener with next Thursday. And as long as the Lopers came out of that healthy, and I know they got some guys banged up, I think that's a good opening sign, which is weird to say when you get beat 31-7, but I truly believe that's a good sign.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the thing in college football right now, when you go on the road, and this is even true in basketball too, when you go on the road, you want to avoid, if you can, that about 15 minutes or 12 minutes where things go really bad for you. And I think that's what happened to UNK. You know, I'm talking about maybe like the last 7 minutes of the first half and maybe the first 5 minutes of the third quarter, you know, and there was that time where it just snowballed on you, et cetera, right at that moment. You know, there was a time when Bill McCartney came into Colorado, Doug, and they played Nebraska, and Nebraska was by far the best team in the nation. And Bill McCartney just started the program. The score's 14-12 at the half. 14-12 at the half. And Nebraska scored 48 points in the third quarter. You know, so it goes from 62-12 in just that much time, you know. So, you know, those things can happen when you go on the road. That game was played in Lincoln, you know, too. And, you know, you just got to try to avoid that stuff. And when you do, I mean, Colorado faked the punt in their own territory. They did a lot of other things. So sometimes you do some stuff to generate offense. And UNK sounded like that turnover really hurt them, too, to generate a little bit more offense for to make that 31-7.
Well, that's the final score, and of course, we'll continue our Tuesday chats with Tony Harper of Hastings College. They open their season tomorrow night at Kansas Wesleyan, 7 o'clock on 1230 KHS, and Daryl Morris will join us Tuesday as well. We'll take a break right now, and when we return, we'll be chatting with the Tri-City Storm coach, Jim Holton. The season is right around the corner. In fact, preseason games this weekend. We'll chat next.
What does success look like for you? Maybe it's time to start something new at Complete Nutrition, a clean, comfortable place where you can discuss your health and nutritional needs on a personal level. It's more than just a store. It's an experience. Want a supplement plan that works with your lifestyle? For mature men, there's TrueForm from Complete Nutrition. This daily metabolism-boosting multivitamin has everything you need for long-term wellness. TrueForm supports heart health, a better prostate, energy, mood, memory, and reinvigorates male vitality. TrueForm Power and Performance, a multivitamin for men. Complete Nutrition. Success starts here.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island near Gordman's. Call 382-8663. And in Kearney on North 2nd Avenue. For free shipping, call 338-1348.
Complete Nutrition.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options, but which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
As skies stay cloudy today, we'll see some scattered showers and thunder showers in the area with a high temperature of around 63. Winds out of the north will stay from 10 to 15. Tonight's skies turn partly cloudy with a low at 45. I'm Paul Trombley. Right now it's 57.
It's close to midnight. Something evil's lurking in the dark. Under the moonlight, you see a sight that almost stops your heart.
Second Natty Show, getting you ready for a tailgate weekend. If you're heading to the Husker game, I know the Lopers are done, but get ready for Thursday's home game. Hastings College or high school games. The Bearcats have their home opener tonight. Troutman's Quality Meats. Nothing else should go on your grill than what you get at Troutman's. All beef at Troutman's is USDA choice. Their quality steaks aged a minimum of 30 days for peak flavor and tenderness. Fresh sausage out of the smokehouse. It's BLT time. Put the best bacon on top of those tomatoes and lettuce, or however it is you create your sandwich. It is all there for you at Troutman's Quality Meats, a grill's best friend. And hey, they've got fresh frozen seafood. Put a little skewer on for the pregame meal, and maybe you're trying out some breakfast. What's better than what Jeff has for breakfast? Troutman's baked beans. Check that out as well. It's all right there with the best beers and wines to wash them down as well. Troutman's Quality Meats, a grill's best friend here on East Highway 30 in Kearney. Well, our Super Bowl predictions are coming up a little bit later on in the show, and Mike Mandelko going into the Nebraska Football Hall of Fame. But each season, one gets started, another one gets ready, and it's time to pass the puck around a little bit, Jimmy.
Yes, it is. We've got maybe we should get somebody here that knows a little bit more about it than you and I.
Well, you could bring in most people off the street that can do X's and O's a little bit better than we could when it comes to hockey. But the Storm will open up with games this weekend at Des Moines, and head coach Jim Holton joins us here along with the voice of the Storm, Jared Schaffrin, who always just kind of chills in the background. Well, happy summer. I'm glad you guys are back. What's going on?
Very excited to be back. Anytime you start a new season, you're jacked up to be back, and all of us are looking forward to a great season and the starting this weekend.
What has went on in the off season? There have been quite a few things with the draft. You've made a couple of trades. You've got you went through your camp. You've brought the kids to Kearney. All that's going on. Is there anything besides the daily routine that fans should know about as you get ready for your first full season with the Storm?
Well, I think it's just a new beginning, and I know Storm fans have heard that a lot over the years, but I think the first impressions are very, very favorable from this group. We sent them home with a mandate to be in a lot better shape. We didn't think that our group was in good enough physical condition last year at any point in the season, and it's a tough thing to acquire mid-stride. That's what you have to do in the summer. That's your summer training. These kids come back, and it's as good as cardiovascular shape as I've seen a junior team in a long time. So step number one was making the commitment in the summer. This group has done it. They've had an extremely good work ethic on the ice. We've got off to a great start here. There's a ton of optimism and a good feeling and a good vibe, and now we have to make sure that we continue to climb the ladder as we move forward.
As you start your preseason, where are you at? I mean, again, and I put myself in this, but to answer the question for the generic hockey fan, the guy and gal that come out there and say, hey, it's the Storm, I want to root them on, and I want to have a beverage, and I want to see this team win. Where are you at right now as you go into these preseason games, roster-wise?
Well, we've got 27 in camp right now. We're going to carry a roster of probably 24, so we don't have a ton of decisions. But that being said, the ones that we're going to have to make are going to be extremely difficult. So it's an evaluation process is multifaceted. I think obviously conditioning and the physical testing was number one. Early onset on the ice is number two. Now we're starting to introduce some of our X and O systems, so how they grasp that is number three. And then finally, and probably most importantly, is live game action. We're going to get that this weekend against Des Moines. We're going to do something a little bit unique. We're going to play neutral site games in Omaha just to minimize travel for both teams. We'll play kind of a regulation game, the first one. The second one might be more of a controlled setting, a.k.a., I guess, kind of what the football teams do. Maybe a special team situation where Des Moines will have a power play for 4 or 5 minutes, then we'll have a power play so we can get a look-see. So once we have that, we have some fodder to evaluate in terms of how the guys are grasping our systems, how do they fit into the puzzle that we're trying to put together.
Jim Holton, head coach, Tri-City Storm, general manager, joining us here. This can come down to almost a buddy system. I know Coach Harper and Wesleyan do a little scrimmage so that you can see somebody besides your own guys. The NFL, we see it. Washington and the Patriots did it this year, among others. Do you have to have a good relationship with Des Moines, Lincoln, and Omaha, or is it just simply they're the closest teams?
Well, it's both. It's obviously it's proximity. You don't want to travel too far in preseason. But also, the one thing that impresses me with this league is there's a high degree of professionalism amongst the coaches and GMs. So there's an understanding that, hey, yes, we're competing against each other, but we all want what's best for the umbrella group, which is the USHL. So in preseason, we all have the same mandate. We want to see our guys. We want to be in an evaluation setting. So I think the game has changed a lot. In the old days, preseason used to be a bit of a gong show, quite frankly. It was filled with fighting and a lot of that. But that's being phased out of the game, and right now, I think we want to see the skill level of our players, the compete level of our players, and how they grasp our system. So to be able to go into, you know, 4 and 5 different preseason games against our closest geographical rivals is a win for all of us involved.
Jimmy, is it okay to take fighting out of hockey?
Yeah, we can take it out. Get rid of it if you want to. I've seen no problem with that. Ejections automatically, just you're gone. Two guys get into it, that's an automatic ejection. Would that, how many players would be around then?
Boy, that would sure negate the number of shifts that we have.
Well, it would. You know what? It's coming. It's on the horizon at some point, whether it's, you know, is it 2 years, is it 5 years, is it 10? But it's like everything, and I think it's more an education from concussions, head injuries, et cetera, in the game today. And it's just everything evolves and all sports change, and that's something that we have to. And really, if you look at the numbers, and we've seen the compilation of stats from our league, it's decreasing rapidly every year. So it's really not even something that we factor in. Years ago, you used to make sure you had a couple tough guys that could throw them if need be, and it was an essential element. You didn't really even care if they could play, quite frankly. But nowadays, the game, the speed has increased so much, and the game has changed to the point where they become liabilities. So you need team toughness. You need to be able to take a hit, give a hit. The physical element of the game, that's the thing that bothers me, is we can't equate taking fighting out without taking hitting out, because we're not taking hitting out. One of the things that sells our game is the speed and kind of the violent aspect of it, similar to football. But I think we're just going to take out the bare-knuckle stuff.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I think the sports is coming out of that. I mean, it's 2014 and the concussions, and I think that's exactly correct. Plus, like you say, a liability. I mean, you know, you get a close game. I mean, you don't need somebody in the penalty box for 2 minutes. I mean, you know, I don't care who you are. I mean, we're playing shorthanded now. I mean, if you're trying to win the game, that was kind of – somebody did something to hurt your team. And in football, the same thing. Somebody takes a shot at somebody on a 4th-and-5 play, and you already stopped them, and all of a sudden you're going, hey, you know, they got an automatic first down now. I mean, that just kind of hurts your team. So I agree with you, Coach.
Coach Holton joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show as we get ready for the opener later this month against Lincoln. You mentioned that you guys did try to get the roster you want through a variety of ways. Had a trade this week, and off the top of my head, as I looked back, it didn't seem like you guys gave up a whole lot in these trades. So kind of tell me about the trades you've made and the guys that you acquired here in the offseason to go with what you had already.
Yeah, there's been multiple moving parts in the offseason, as I guess is the nature of the beast in the business. And some good, some bad. We lost Austin Boganski to the University of North Dakota, but good on Austin, and I guess good on our program for having him ready. It's a trickle-down effect. North Dakota lost a player to the pros that they didn't anticipate, so then they reached back down into their system, and Austin was the next best candidate. That wasn't something that we knew prior to the draft, but because we had lived through some tough times last year, we made some difficult trades, but we knew that the payback was going to be now. We had a number of draft picks, so we've really revamped things, in particular on the back end and goaltending. We're going to have 2 brand new goaltenders, and Alec Dillon and Blake Weyrich, who came really via trades, but via the draft. There were draft picks acquired in trades at last season's deadline. Bobby Nardella is probably one of the best mobile young defensemen. He was part of the Joel Esperance trade that couldn't be announced until the draft. It was futures, so pretty excited there. The recent acquisition was Chase Hatcher. We've got openings in our 94. We're allowed to have 4 players born in 1994, so all 20-year-olds. We were a little bit shy there. We only have 2 in camp. So we wanted to have a look at another one. Chase is a young man who's played major junior up in Canada, played in Muskegon last year. He's 6'2", 200-pound winger. One of our other mandates, remember at the end of last year, was getting bigger, and tied in with that is harder to play against, and Chase addresses a number of those needs.
The type of team do you feel right now with the 27 guys you've got, you have the type of team, the players that you want, or is that still an evolving process? Hard to do in 1 year's time, 1 season's time.
It is in most leagues, but when we studied the models of a lot of teams that made quick turnarounds in this league, it is possible. There's such a high rate of turnover here because primarily we're producing players into the NCAA. So it's a much shorter lifespan here than it is, for example, in Major A. I was used to maybe a 3 or 4 year cycle here. But when we looked at it, Indianapolis is a perfect example. They won 21 games 2 years ago and turned around and won 45-plus and won the championship last year, just based on smart drafting, smart trading. So we're very excited. I guess cautiously optimistic. We really, really like what we've seen, but we also know that we haven't played against a hostile opponent yet. So we think we're much better off in terms of where we're starting. Our starting point is much higher than it was at any point last year. But that being said, I think everybody's excited about their team this time of year.
Jim Holton, Tri-City Storm head coach, you alluded to it pretty much in your opening. Storm fans have been waiting for, you know, they'd love that kind of a turnaround. Right now, they want to get into the playoffs.
Yeah, exactly. I think we have to walk before we run. I don't think we can sit here and promise championships, but we want to be a team that competes hard every single night and gives themselves a chance to win every night. And we think we have the nucleus to do that. We think if we can control the elements that we can control, you know, our effort, our intensity, our focus, that we're going to be in most games. And you're right. At a league like this, the competitive nature, the parity, you just need to get yourself in the playoffs. Any one of the eight teams in the playoffs can win this championship. So I think before we think anything else, goal number one is to solidify a playoff spot.
So as you go through this preseason, as you said, not all of them are full 60-minute regulation type of games, but you've got seven games between now and the 20th, and then you open the season on the 26th. You've got the 27. You want to cut it to 24, so I'm guessing you've got 6, 8, maybe 10 guys that you're all looking at that are on the bubble right now. So share with me what you're going to tell, I'm sure, the whole team, but what you're looking for during this preseason that's going to separate number 22, 3, and 4 from number 5, 6, and 7.
Well, I think what you have to do is you define roles, and the definition has to come from the coaching staff, because there might be a difference between what a player thinks he is versus what we picture him to be in our lineup. And I think there has to be clarity in terms of the roles before we start, and that'll be a message that's sent today and tomorrow. And again, so don't change anything you've done. If we drafted you, if we traded for you, it was because we specifically liked what you did in your previous setting. So don't come in and try to be something more than what you were previously. Just do that and do it to the best of your abilities and let the chips fall where they may. And we're trying to forge an identity. We've talked more about being, you know, some intangible things with our identity, with our work ethic, with our sacrifice. Discipline, as we've talked about earlier, you know, hard to play against is one of the mantras we keep harping on. So really, I think in a tryout setting, less talk from the coaching staff is better, and it's up to the players to sort things out on their own.
I could ask you this, and probably will, before the first game. Is this a team that will, I mean, you want to win, so is this a team that will want to win 2-1, 3-2, or is this a team that will want to win 5-4, 6-3?
That's still to be determined, and it's a great question. And coaching is kind of like being at a poker table. I don't think, you know, everyone.
Are you a good poker player?
He is if he has the right cards.
Bingo,
you give me the good cards. There you go.
Yeah. Hence the analogy. But yeah, no. But I think you have to learn at the poker table. You have to learn to bluff and win with nines and tens, just as much as you can with a full house or a great hand. And I think every season dictates little tweaks in your system. It's easy to say I'm a defense first coach. I'm going to do this. But in a short turnaround, I think you have to see what your personnel is first. And one of the most difficult things as a coach is to fighting hard not to try to change what a player is. And I think, you know, we have a system where, okay, here's what we want to do. We want to blanket you in defense. But you also have to take the individual strength and try to mold them into a collective strength. So we're waiting to see. I mean, if you had to put me on the spot, what you're kind of doing, and ask me right now, I think we're more going to be a fundamentally sound defensive team. That's not going to give up a lot of opportunities. We're probably going to be more in the 3-2-2-1 range.
Well, if you play 9-10 and 7-8 Jack Rainbow hits on the flop, you're usually in pretty good shape there. So, Shafford, anything we need to know from the fun standpoint?
Fun standpoint is that we're actually going to be playing some hockey. I feel like the season was a long season, but there's a longer off season. So the preseason games will be fun. We'll have one home preseason game on the 13th against Lincoln. And then, like you said, we're starting it up on the 26th. The first game is October 3rd here at home at the Viero Event Center. And we're going to do a little fireworks show, have a little opening night kids jersey giveaway. So kids come out, get a free Storm jersey. Sporting some new jerseys this year, so I won't give you any more than that, but there we will have new jerseys by the beginning of the season.
I know there's been some personnel changes out there, and everybody's still going to be working hard. A lot of the same faces might see a new face or two as the season progresses behind the scenes. Besides being on the breeze again this year for regular season games, how else can folks watch, listen to preseason and regular season games?
Yeah, the breeze is going to do all the regular season games. So the preseason games, it kind of dictates what arena we're going to be at as to where you're going to hear us. The Fall Classic will be available on Fast Hockey Online. Both Fall Classic games in Sioux City on the 19th and 20th. Our home game, we're going to stream web stream video for free live on stormhockey.com. So that's the best chance to catch a free stream of the game on the 13th if you can't make it out to the arena. All the other games I'm still working on. So we don't, some of them might be on, some of them might not. It'll be kind of last minute. If you follow our Facebook and Twitter feeds, we'll be keeping everybody updated on the broadcast for those games.
Brother, I know what you're talking about there.
You never know what you're going to get when you show up to some of these places.
Jimmy, last question before we let you out of here. Just before we, I know we'll talk again about this, but your initial impression as to the early part of the schedule, the first couple of weekends.
I don't mind it. We kind of ease into the schedule. Obviously, opening night or opening weekend, we're in Lincoln on the road. I guess as a coach, I always prefer to start on the road. I'd like to see what our team in adverse circumstances. And that's kind of why we set up next weekend, too. Three games in 3 days. We want to kind of test our resolve early, see where we're at mentally, physically against challenges. So I like it. I like where we're set up in our schedule. And again, I like our group. And we're trying to build to the point where it doesn't matter what arena or what setting we're in. And, you know, we think we have enough veterans that can do that. But that's the fun part of this type of year, that you're always thinking miles ahead, but I think the schedule sets up favorably for us.
Well, it'll be here before we know it, 3 weeks away from the opener from tonight. And head coach, general manager Jim Holton, voice of the Storm, Jared Schaffrin. Look forward to another great year. We'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely, guys. Always a pleasure.
Thanks for coming in. Doug and Daddy's show will continue in just a moment. But first, folks, you look out there today. It's too wet to be out there picking, but it won't be very long. T&L Irrigation Systems make sure that it's always a little wet in your field when you need it. T&L has proven technology that works. Stop by and see your local T&L dealer today or go to TLIRR.com. T&L Irrigation will set you down, show you what hydrostatic pivot irrigation system will be. If you've never run through that, you just continue to see them in more fields and more fields throughout the listening area. And, of course, in business since the 1950s out of their worldwide headquarters in Hastings, taking care of all of not just our backyard, but the United States and 65 countries worldwide. There's a reason they're the best, T&L Irrigation. Mike Mandelka will join us ahead of his induction into the Nebraska Football Hall of Fame, plus our Super Bowl predictions, pigskin pick'em. It's all coming up.
On our last episode of As the Wheel Turns, Carl was ending a long-term relationship.
Carl, I've seen how you look at other vehicles.
You just don't look as good as you used to.
That's because you haven't taken me to the Dent Popper. A new spray-on bed liner or bed cover will get people to stare at me. Custom-fit floor mats from WeatherTech will make me feel pretty on the inside.
Avoid the drama with a trip to the Dent Popper, north of the railroad, First Avenue, on the bricks, downtown Kearney.
You'll have fun, fun, fun when you make it Fawner Park.
Bet on the best weekend thoroughbred racing at Fawner Park's Finish Line Restaurant and Sports Lounge. Play live draw keno. Enjoy delicious specialty salad, sandwiches, lunch, and dinner specials. Full bar service, too. Saturday, the $400,000 Super Derby from Louisiana Downs, plus the Husker McNeese State Game. Prime rib dinner and night racing from Remington at the Finish Line, number one for food and fun.
Kearney Crete and Block and Christensen Concrete Products have been supplying Kearney, Grand Island, and Hastings with quality concrete and masonry supplies for a combined 140 years of experience, including the new showroom in Grand Island on West Highway 30. Stop in today and let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and the value of your home and business. Kearney Crete and Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
To some, winning isn't everything, it's the only thing. Others say it's not whether you win or lose, it's how you play the game. But everyone can agree that the uniforms and equipment you play in make a big difference in how you play and how you win. That's why TM Sporting Goods gives you that winning edge with top name brands and personal service from seasoned pros like Steve Baradol and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods, on the bricks, 2217 Central, downtown Kearney. TM Sporting Goods, a division of Protein Design.
Nearly 650,000 Americans were injured at work last year. In construction, agriculture, medicine, manufacturing, or an office, safety and wellness are the keys to a happy, healthy workplace. Join us at the Eunice Conference Center in Kearney, September 25th, for a one-day conference featuring over 20 breakout sessions, comedian Greg Schwimm, a full exhibit hall, and more. Information and registrations are at GreatPlainsSafety.com. Time is running out to register before the conference on September 25th. Be safe, be well. GreatPlainsSafety.com.
As skies stay cloudy today, we'll see some scattered showers and thunder showers in the area with a high temperature of around 63. Winds out of the north will stay from 10 to 15. Tonight, skies turn partly cloudy with a low at 45. I'm Paul Trombley. Right now, it's 57.
I can make anybody pretty. I can make you believe any lie. I can make you pick a fight with somebody twice your size.
Doug and Daddy's show. I don't even know if we'll have time to get into horse racing, but Jimmy, did you see they had the horse race yesterday in Lincoln?
No, I didn't get to see it. It was one furlong race. I talked to some people about it, but who ended up winning? How many horses went?
Three horses went in the field.
Okay.
And the story is not who won, and it was Husker Ridge in this three-horse field. I believe the number one horse. It lasted 13 seconds. But after that, the filly decided it wanted to keep running. It didn't know it was one furlong race. In fact, the jockey had to jump off as it left the track, headed out across the pasture, and they got it 30 minutes later about 2 miles down the road at a farmhouse.
What did I say about this race? I said somebody is going to get hurt or some. Did I say that? You guys remember that? I said this is ridiculous that they're doing this because, I mean, and this is exactly why you don't do that. Hey, Doug, here's a funny story. The other day I went to the races, and they had a race that was 2 miles and 70 yards. And there was a horse going off at 2 to 5 that won by 17 and a half lengths the time before.
Yeah.
Well, we tried to beat him. And we did. We had a 3-to-1 shot that went by him. Okay. Won by 49 and a half lengths. Now, as they're turning for home, we're going, come on now, get him, hit him, hit him. What? You know, you're cheering him. You know, you can imagine how, you know, you're going, hey, this is the easiest I've ever won a race by right here.
Oh, yeah.
49 and a half.
Because I'm guessing if I had a 2 mile race and I wasn't going to win it, there's no need to, you know, just let's trot home.
Second. That other horse ran second. You know, the favorite ran second, got beat by 49 and a half.
Big weekend down in Lincoln. Not necessarily marquee matchup with McNeese State, but some cool things going on, and of course the Nebraska Football Hall of Fame induction ceremonies are this weekend with the ceremonies tonight, and everybody will be introduced to the crowd tomorrow, and we welcome in one of those inductees. He was an all Big 8 offensive guard and part of the really the teams that got Nebraska going once again in the early 80s, and he has resided in Lexington where he puts a couple caps on teats every once in a while. Mike Mandelko joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda and Jim Langan. Mike, thanks so much for the time, and hey, congratulations.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
What's going through your mind now that it's here and that you'll get together and see some of the old buddies tonight and receive this honor?
You know, it's a little bit overwhelming, you know, humbling to say the least, I guess. I never once considered, you know, a possible induction into the Hall of Fame. In fact, when I got the letter, I looked at it. You know, I saw on the outside that that's who it was from. I actually, the first thing that came into my mind was, oh, they must want some sort of a donation or something. And I opened it up and read it, and my wife was sitting next to me, and I read it, and I went, huh. She said, what's that? And I said, well, apparently they've run out of people to induct into the Hall of Fame. And they've gotten to me. But I knew that wasn't true. I mean, I said that tongue-in-cheek because certainly the other three guys being inducted are from Nebraska, but all of the other inductees are certainly deserving of it. So
hey,
that's how it kind of came about.
Hey, Mike, Jim Langan here. Hey, I'll tell you one thing. I said people don't maybe realize this, but some of the players that you played with at that time and the notoriety that they got, that had to be a tough starting lineup to crack. I mean, you know, you look at some of the other guys. So tell the people who was on that offensive line with you.
Yeah, it was a little bit tough, I guess, you know, especially looking back at it. I was left guard. The left tackle was Randy Tice, who was a academic All-American, and he was all Big 8 and, you know, like a third-team All-American or something like that. The center was Dave Remington. You know, everyone knows what Dave did. The right guards, most of the time it was Dean Steinkuhler, who was a year younger, but You know, and again, most everybody knows the successes that Dean had. And then our right tackle was a guy named Jeff Kwapik. So it was kind of tough.
Mike Mandelka has joined us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, going into the Nebraska Football Hall of Fame this weekend, along with Russ Hochstein, Barrett Rood, Carl Johnson, and UNK's Justin Coleman. Mike, it's always interesting. I mean, that's about the time, I would say, you know, every person has the time they start remembering. And like the first Husker game I ever remember was probably 73, 74. And then the Billy Sims game in 78. And then really when you're in high school, you're following the Huskers. And all the players seem to tell me, you know, at the time, we're working to win. We're working to get better. We're just focused on not making the coach mad and doing the best that we can. As you reflect back on that time, what are some of the thoughts of how good that team was and really how good you were with your teammates?
Well, the 82 season was my senior year. You know, and that was for some people to remember when that was exactly. That was the year before the scoring explosion. But we did all right too. You know, I won't say should have, but we certainly could have been national champions that year. We only had one loss, and that was because of a little bit of a controversial call down at Penn State. You know, if they'd have just had the reviews 35 years ago, you know, we might have been national champions. But anyway, you know, we had a pretty darn good team. And both sides of the ball, really, too. You know, and a lot of Nebraska guys on the team. You know, on offense, there was myself and Dave Remington and Kurt Glader played a lot. Dean Steinkuhler, you know, those are in the offensive line. And then the receivers, we had Todd Brown, you know, who was from Holdridge, and we were a pretty decent team.
What were the three amigos really like, to the best that you can tell us? Because in this day and age, everybody wants to play as a true freshman, and now you got a Manziel and a Winston that step up and do some great things immediately. But Irving, Rozier, Irving Fryer, Rozier, and Turner Gill, considered the best trio of offensive players maybe at one time in Nebraska history.
What were they like? Was that your question?
Yeah. I mean, did you deal with them?
Play with them?
Yeah. Or, what was that like working with those guys?
You know, I kind of came up with a little acceptance speech tonight, and that's one of the things that I talk about is, you know, it was a little bit easier to look good at what I did when you're blocking for guys like, you know, Roger Craig and Mike Rozier and Turner Gill and Irving Fryer and Phil Bates and, you know, people like that. You don't have to hold a block quite as long. And, you know, they can help you look pretty good in the offensive line. So, but they were great guys, you know, down to earth guys, easy to talk to, you know, just, they were just really good teammates.
Mike, was there a game, was there one game where you remember looking back at it and Nebraska won, but it was something right at the end of the game, we won the game, and you're going, wow, we thank God we got out of here alive?
You know, I would say the Missouri game. I believe it was my senior year. Did we win 6-0 maybe?
Yeah, scored with about 20 seconds to go in the game, and I think our extra point kicker was 78 out of 78. And we scored on third down. Do you remember? I mean, and who was the extra point kicker at that time? I can't remember.
Kevin Seibel.
Yeah, and he missed the extra point then.
Yeah, he was one of the last, straight on kickers. That were around. Most everyone was, you know, kicking soccer style by then, but he was a straight on guy. I guess I had forgotten that, but Kevin was a great guy too. I didn't realize he was 78 for 78, but that doesn't surprise me that you said that.
Mike, before we let you go here and get ready for the weekend, a lot of, and we joked about it at the beginning of the show, a lot of the people will know the Mandelko name because of the great athleticism that your kids have had, and of course your son down there in Lincoln, the daughters have done some real good things. Can you give us a quick update on them, and then I got one more follow-up for you?
Sure. Our three kids. Jacob is the oldest. I call him Jacob. He goes by Jake. And, you know, played at UNK and then played football at UNK and then is down here as a grad assistant now at the university. Working hard, you know, trying to get his foot in the door for into the coaching profession. He was recently married a year and a half ago. And he and his wife are, his wife Shandis, are expecting their first child, little girl.
Cool.
Here in a couple of months. Hannah, our middle child, oldest daughter, played volleyball at UNK for 1 year and then decided to just continue with just being solely a student. And she actually just last week started the graduate program there at UNK and is getting her master's in school psychology. And Haley, our youngest, is at Southern Utah University, and she's on a basketball scholarship out there and is just entering her senior year out there.
Did your time at Nebraska, and everybody refers to what they learned from Tom Osborne or their position coach, what did you take from them in raising your student athletes?
I learned a lot from Coach Osborne and the position coaches. I guess Coach Osborne, and one thing that I did try to to teach our children, I guess, and not only I did it in an athletic way. But it pertains to life, too, as far as when something goes bad, when a play goes bad, forget about it. Drop it. That play's over. Go on to the next play, you know, because if you sit and think about that play for the next three plays, you're going to mess up again, and pretty soon it just starts to snowball. So, you know, if something goes bad, you know, realize what it was, correct it, and move on. And I guess probably that.
Well, coach,
as anything.
I'll tell you, if you coached them, I'll tell you one thing. Yeah, you did an excellent job because they were very good competitors on the court, but they always held up the game with a high self-esteem, and I always enjoyed refereeing them.
Well, I think they enjoyed you refereeing them too. I know I always enjoyed the game. It was always a good show.
Mike, we can't let you go without asking you, what do you think of the program and where it's at today?
I've got a little bit of insider information, I guess, you know, with Jake being one of the GAs on the team, but I really like it. I love where Bo is taking the team. The new, kinder, gentler bow up this year. I didn't have that much of a problem with how he was before. I mean, you know, he could have been a little bit more, reserved on the sidelines, I guess. But that's just not Bo. That's just not the way he is. But I am excited about, where they're headed. I think they've got the talent. I had a ball last week watching the offensive line. I still watch them a lot, or I try to anyway, in the games, and I'm pretty excited about not only the starters, but I think they have a fair amount of depth too.
Well, I agree with you. I said you got to be patient a little bit, and hopefully that patience will pay off. Mike, it was a pleasure chatting with you on the Doug and Daddy Show. Again, congratulations, and enjoy this weekend, all 48 hours of it that you can cram into a couple days and a half here.
I will. I will enjoy it to the max.
All righty, Mike. Thanks so much for being with us, and hopefully we'll talk again sometime.
All right. Thank you for having me.
You bet. Mike Mandelko, Lexington's own. Lexington has produced quite a few names over the years that have contributed to Nebraska football players, coaches. I mean, you got Kiffin, you got Alvarez, just some probably should have even went down that road a little bit more with Mike, and maybe in the future we can do that.
Yeah, I mean, Mick Tinglehoff, you know, was from Lexington. Did you say that name already?
Nope.
Yeah, Mick Tinglehoff. And then, you know,
he's up for the Pro Football Hall of Fame this year from the senior committee.
Yeah,
so hopefully
and you know, Ted Harvey, a guy that sits by Mike at a lot of those games, you know, played for Nebraska, you know, and still got a lot of ties with the Lexington community and stuff. Those two guys went back to Lexington, you know, played football for Nebraska, and both of them went back to the community. So.
Doug and Daddy Show rolls on with our Pigskin Pick'em in just a moment. I've got the trivia question all set to go here for you. The Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth, we're glad to have you along with us. Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac and Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram with more great specials, even with the Labor Day sales behind us now. They have a lot more deals coming into the month of September, and let's tell you a little bit about those. It's Chevy Truck Month. Supplier pricing on Silverado 1500 LTs and pricing plus $500 in bonus cash plus $1,500 trade assist. The Silverados, 1500 LT, crew cab, double cab, regular cab, and they've got the Silverado 25 and 3500s as well. And don't forget, during Chevy Truck Month, the Tahoe and Suburbans have $2,500 customer cash plus $2,000 bonus cash and 0% for 60 months. For more information, go to thinkmidway.com or just stop by and see your Midway Auto Dealerships, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Let's do Pigskin Pick'em. Here is your trivia question. If you have not competed against us, you get one chance. So Sam, he's out. He won last week. We've got a Big Daly's Deli large combo meal just for knowing the answer. And then you can win the Cunningham's cash if you beat Jimmy and I, which apparently is a lot easier these days than it used to be. 888-455-3776. 888-455-3776. We just talked to Mike Mandelko. His senior year was 1982. He finished it up with a victory in the Orange Bowl against who? He finished it up in the Orange Bowl in 1982. It would have been the 83 Orange Bowl. Who did Nebraska beat in that game? 888-455-3776. First correct caller takes us on in Pigskin Pick'em, and then our Super Bowl picks.
Since the dawn of time, the land has been nurtured, first by the hands of nature and then by the hands of man. Farming is a way of life here. Today's farmer has a feel for the land, a knowing touch that shows in the riches of the harvest. And for years, they've depended on CHS Agri-Service Center to help them. CHS is a locally owned and locally controlled, so the people behind the counters and on the phones are the people you've known for years, people you can rely on. There's a CHS Service Center near you, and always here at chsagri.com.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Who likes contracts? Whether it's your gym membership or cell phone service, nobody likes contracts, right? That's why you should choose Prairie iNet. They offer amazing internet service, and you never, never have to sign a contract. You will get fast, reliable service for streaming video, playing online games, and social media. They're locally based with local people, local support, and local pricing. And there is no risk with their 30-day money-back guarantee. Remember, no gimmicks, no contracts with Prairie iNet.
To sign up for Prairie iNet, call 308-224-2309. 224-2309.
Are there any worse words than, quote, buffering or loading? When you think reliability and internet, think Prairie iNet. Prairie iNet provides reliable, high-speed service that can keep pace with the excitement of streaming video, playing online games, and social media. Oh, and how about never having to sign a contract and a 30-day money-back guarantee? Prairie iNet is locally based with local people, local support, and local pricing. No gimmicks, no contracts with Prairie iNet.
To sign up for Prairie iNet, call 308-224-2309. 224-2309.
Here's the Crossroads Ford Bargains of the Week. 2005 Dodge Quad Cab 4x4 with a Hemi, just $13,500. A 2003 Dodge Dakota Quad Cab SLT, that's a two-wheel drive, $7,500. 2004 Ford F-150 regular cab pickup with an 8-foot box, just $3,599. And just traded for a 2004 Cadillac CTS, only $8,900. They are dealing and they want trade-ins. That's Crossroads Ford, Kearney.
Godfather's Pizza in Hastings is proud to announce free delivery for the month of September. With a minimum purchase of $10 or more, we will deliver your order within Hastings, Laughlin, Central Community College, and the Westbrook area for free. We will also deliver catering orders, and upon request, we'll bring all the table service just for you. Godfather's Pizza also delivers 2 liters of your favorite Pepsi products. Time is valuable these days, so let Godfather's Pizza in Hastings bring you a delicious meal. Call us at 402-461-0386.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Tervell DeLongnev going to wrestle this weekend in the FILA World Championships. We're going to give you that information in just a little bit. But right now, it's time to get to Pigskin Pick'em. The correct answer was Mike Mandelko's final game was against LSU. 82 season, 83 Orange Bowl. Nebraska won that 21-20. And Jerry in Kearney knew the answer. And so Jerry is the winner of the Big Daddy's Deli large combo meal. Big Daddy's Deli on top of the hill in Kearney, 3905 North 2nd Avenue, across from Duncan Field in Hastings, home of a bazillion sandwiches. Stop by and enjoy Big Daddy's Deli, where you can get it made however you want. The sandwich, the meat, the bread, warm, cold, all the toppings, all the fixings. Get a combo meal if you would like. Big Daddy's Deli, Kearney and Hastings. Well, Jerry, congratulations. Are you ready to just beat our brains in?
I'm going to try, I guess.
Well, let's get after it. Our first game, we've got a couple games going tonight, and point spread-wise, very close. So let's take a look at them. Pittsburgh at Boston College, and to be fair here, Jimmy, you've got Pittsburgh as a four-and-a-half-point favorite. So who do you like in this one, Jerry?
Probably Pittsburgh.
Jimmy, who you got here?
I'll take Boston College.
I'm going to take Boston College as well. Doug takes Boston College. Washington is at Nevada. Washington State is at Nevada. Washington State got bit by Rutgers at home. Now they go to Nevada, and they are a 3.5-point favorite. Who do you got here, Jimmy?
I'll take Nevada. I'll take Nevada.
You're going to take Nevada?
I'm going to take both home teams. Friday night.
You know, Mike Leach doesn't like to lose. And he might. I'm going to take Washington State. Who do you like, Jerry?
I'm going to take Nevada.
All right, let's go to Air Force at Wyoming. I always like to throw the Wyoming Cowboys in there. This is a 1-point, 2-point game. Air Force a slight favorite. I think the line actually switched from Wyoming being an early favorite. I'm going to take Wyoming because this is a big rivalry game between those teams. And a new coach with Craig Bohl, I'm going to take Wyoming. Jerry, who do you like?
I like Wyoming also, another home team.
Jimmy?
Clean sweep, Wyoming.
I did not see that coming.
Me neither.
BYU at Texas. When you say it, it's not supposed to be that close of a ball game, but Jimmy, we got about a 4-point favorite starting out here. What do you got? Did you get a line change on me? I've got the latest I looked at yesterday was Texas, anywhere from 2 to 3.5. So, Jerry, who do you like here? BYU at Texas.
Oh, geez. I hate to say this, but I think Texas.
When the money's on the line, they always take Texas, don't they, Jimmy? Who you taking?
I'm taking BYU.
There is a reason that line is that close. And it must mean that BYU is going to win. But I'm going to believe in Charlie Strong, and I'm going to take Texas in this ball game. Let's get to the Big Ten. Purdue looked pretty good last week. They take on another Michigan team. This is Central Michigan at Purdue. Purdue a 3.5-point favorite. Jimmy, what do you got?
Central Michigan.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to take Purdue. Jerry, who do you like?
Purdue also.
All right. Jerry picks up Purdue. Northern Illinois at Northwestern. Northwestern, this is weird. They went from about a 2.5, 3-point favorite when it opened. Now they're up a touchdown. Jimmy, why is that?
I don't know. I don't think Northern Illinois is as good as they were last year. They lost a pretty good player, but I think that's what it's based on. Plus, Northwestern got behind real bad against California, came back and made a game of just ran out of gas. So I think that's why the line changed.
This point spread smells. It smells to me, but I'm going to root for Northwestern. And I'm going to hope the Big Ten gets a lot of big wins this weekend. I'll take Northwestern. Jimmy, who you got?
Northwestern.
And Jerry, who you got?
As do I, Northwestern.
Clean sweep there. All right, Virginia Tech at Ohio State. Ohio State does get into the double-digit numbers here as a favorite. Who you got in this one, Jerry?
Oh, Virginia Tech.
Virginia Tech, this is the national upset special of the week. Jimmy, are you going with it?
I'm taking Ohio State.
Urban's too good. I expect Frank Beamer. If this was at Virginia Tech, I could pick Virginia Tech. This is at Ohio State. They may not cover, but I'm taking Ohio State to win the game. It's the final for this time. Final game between Michigan and Notre Dame. Notre Dame 3.5 at home. You usually get that field goal if you're the home team. So in this ball game, Michigan at Notre Dame. Jimmy, who you got?
I'm going to take Notre Dame, but this game could go either way. This is definitely a 50-50 call. I'll take Notre Dame. I'm not proud of it.
Jerry, who you got?
Michigan.
And I'm going to agree with Jerry because I think Michigan may be the most underrated team in the Big Ten Conference. Michigan State at Oregon. I still am flabbergasted that Oregon is favored by 12, and that means Oregon's probably going to cover. I want Michigan State to win. That's the problem. Heart, head, I'm taking Oregon. Jerry, who you got?
Oregon.
Jimmy?
I'll take Oregon also.
And finally, we'll have USC Stanford, followed by Michigan State Oregon tomorrow here on ESPN. USC at Stanford. Stanford about a 3-point favorite. Who you got, Jerry?
USC.
Jimmy?
I'll take Stanford.
USC looked pretty good last week.
Yes, they did.
A couple of turnovers that Fresno couldn't do anything with, and I wonder if that had something to do with it. USC. I'm thinking USC. Total points. Here's your tiebreaker. Nebraska, McNeese State. Total points in this football game. We have ours written down. How many points do you have in this one, Jerry?
57.
Oh, he tweenered us, Jimmy. He tweenered us because I'm thinking it's going to be about a 49-7 type of ball game. So, and 42-14, whatever. It all comes up to 56 for me. You're going a little bit higher.
62.5.
All right, there it is. Jerry, congratulations on the Big Dally's Deli, and we wish you the best of luck this weekend. Thanks for your time.
All right, thanks, guys.
Jerry and Carney trying to make us 0-2 on the season.
He kind of made me feel bad when I picked Central Michigan over Purdue, and right over the air he even said it, didn't he?
Yeah.
Over the air.
I got a lot of home. I don't know. We'll see how it plays out. Now, let's get to the money time. Let's get to the money time.
All right. The first one is Toledo plus 6.5 over Missouri. That game's at Toledo. Missouri was one of the best teams in the Southeastern Conference last year. The average gambler is definitely going to be just taking Missouri, but Toledo will be very hard and will play very hard at home. This is a game they've been looking at for months. And I guarantee you, Missouri did not look at their schedule and look at the Toledo game as one of their most important games on the schedule. So I have Toledo. I have Central Michigan over Purdue. I'll tell you, I like three others, Doug, but I do like those two the best. So I'll give you three others, though, but those two are the ones I like best. Temple, Akron over Penn State. Temple over Navy, and then Arkansas State over Tennessee.
Any pros?
In the pros, I decided not to take anything in the pros until I watched them a week. I did so poor last week by just kind of going off what people did last year. It did not work out real well. So I thought I wanted to see everybody kind of play. But all five people that I gave you all won last week. All five teams that I gave you were all winners last week, and now they're all getting points the next week.
Okay, yeah. Recap for the listeners out there. Your five selections.
Okay, the two I liked the best were Toledo over Missouri and Central Michigan over Purdue. Those were the two that I liked the best. The next three that I'm giving you is Temple, plus 4.5 over Navy, Akron, plus 16.5 over Penn State, and Arkansas State, plus 17 over Tennessee. The Arkansas State is everybody in the world saw Tennessee on TV and saw how great they looked. So the natural reaction is to, Tennessee, I'm going to play them. But I think Arkansas State will give them a pretty good ball game.
This is one of my favorite times of the year, kind of an anniversary. It is time now to make our NFL selections. We got one more break we need to take?
Nope.
We're good? Okay. I'm just making sure we're on board here. Because we will make our selections. And let's go to the archives.
Who wins the AFC? Who wins the NFC? Who wins the Super Bowl?
I have the Ravens and Packers in the Super Bowl. And again, Packers not probably very creative. I like the Niners a lot, but I got the Ravens. I think the Ravens are a class of the AFC. I think defense does win it.
Okay, that was Bush Cutter. And then I made my pick. Is that what happened? I don't even remember this. What is this?
Baltimore has it all, and I've been riding their coattails for a long, long time, and I'm going to take somehow them to beat the darlings of Houston and New England. They've got to fall apart sometimes. So I'm going to take Baltimore, although, boy, if Peyton gets you into the playoffs, then they're going to be good enough to go to the Super Bowl. And in the NFC, there's no way I can take the Packers. I'm going to take, as much as I hate this, I'm going to take the 49ers against Baltimore and the brothers coach against each other in the Super Bowl, and I'm going to take the experience with Baltimore to win the Super Bowl over the 49ers.
Did that ever happen, Jimmy?
You know, why is it that you get to replay all your great selections and we never do mine? I mean, you keep, you know, if I go 1-5, we talked about it for weeks. You know, if I go, last year I went 9-0. I went 9-0, nine
straight.
We played
that hard.
We never played it once. I never get any credit for anything.
Played that hard. You were off to the best start in history last year.
There you go.
I even made sure when it wasn't the show, I said, people, Facebook, you got to be listening. Friday, you got to be listening. Jimmy, hot.
That is funny. Hey, you did.
We didn't do
that,
so
though.
Good last year, though.
No, but hey, I'll tell you what. The year you did that was about a 50-1 call. I mean, that really was.
Yeah, if there would have been an investment in it, unlike the other 30 years where you do and nothing happens. All right, let's do it. I mentioned the teams in the preseason. The Giants went 5-0. Minnesota and Baltimore went 4-0. Indianapolis and Dallas went 0-4. So Indianapolis and Dallas have a very, and of course everybody can make fun of Dallas, very long shot of making the playoffs. Where the Giants, Minnesota, and Baltimore, and I see that Chris Berman picks Baltimore and Seattle in the Super Bowl in his two-minute drill. Do we have the other selections, Jeffrey, from our other co-hosts to take a look at here? And then we will make our selections. Our Tuesday co-host likes New England, Pittsburgh, Indy, and Denver. He didn't pick any wild cards. And then he took the Eagles, the Packers, the Falcons, and the Niners. And he has the Broncos over the Niners in the Super Bowl. Randy Bushcutter, Wednesday, says Patriots, Bengals, Colts, Broncos, and then in the NFC, Eagles, Packers, Saints, Seahawks, so a lot of chalk there, and he takes the Saints over the Colts in the Super Bowl. Jimmy, give me your division winners. Let's start in the AFC. Who do you got in the East?
I took in the AFC, I took New England, and I thought that was probably the easiest one I came up with.
And I'm taking New England as well. You take them until they don't. You know, until they don't, and without a Tom Brady injury, that's the only time that they haven't. AFC North, who you taking?
I took Cincinnati, but it wasn't easy. But I took the Bengals, but it was not an easy selection. There were two other teams I liked in there, and I also thought the Browns could do it, but I just ended up with the Bengals.
The Browns. Wow. I'm taking the Bengals. I'm not sure how good Baltimore is going to be this year. I'm taking the Bengals. AFC South, I am taking the Colts. Even if it's chalk, I'm going to take the Colts. I really, really like the Colts.
I took the Colts also.
And again, I don't know who can really step up and win double-digit games in there. Can Houston turn it around that quick? I do like Tennessee. I think they've got some talent. AFC West, Denver, obviously.
Yeah, I did the same thing, Doug. I have Denver also.
Here's where we kind of set the boys apart from the men, though. A lot of people like at least three of those teams to make the playoffs. Who you take into the wild card? I'll tell you what, I'll go first.
Okay.
I like the Miami Dolphins this year. I like the Miami Dolphins. I think the Jets can be really sneaky in there. I'll take Miami as one of my wild card picks. Jared Crick is going to be on the show Tuesday on the Doug and Daddy show after their first game of the season from the Houston Texans. So I feel obligated to take the Houston Texans as my other wild card pick because last year they did not make the Super Bowl as I predicted. So I'll take the Texans and Bill O'Brien to bounce back. How about you? Did you do the same thing?
I took the Houston Texans.
Jeez.
As a wild card, but I took the San Diego Chargers as a wild card.
Okay.
And what was your other wild card that you took?
Miami,
okay, yeah.
I really would not be surprised. I want Baltimore. I like rooting for Baltimore, obviously. They made me look good. I think there's a lot. I think the Chiefs are way undervalued. I don't think the Chiefs are going to be as bad as everybody thinks they are out there. Special teams, Jamal Charles. I think they're going to be just fine, but we're having some fun here, so... The Chiefs, the Jets, the Ravens, I see all in the race as well. If you had a long shot, if you're going to take one of those 100-1 shots, who you got out of the AFC?
Yeah, the AFC, I couldn't come up with anybody that would be 100-1. You know, like
50-1.
Oh, 50-1? Yeah, the Browns, if they're at that price, I don't even know what they're at. But the Browns would be my – they'd be long, I know that.
I would take the Titans, probably. NFC in the East – you know, I want to pick Dallas. I think they're going to be a tad bit better than people think if Romo's healthy. If he's not, it's going to be a dumpster fire.
Agree.
Down there in Dallas.
Completely agree.
But the Eagles have way more than everybody else, so I'll take the Eagles in the East. You agree?
Yep, took the Eagles.
NFC North, who you got?
I took the Detroit Lions.
Did you just look at my sheet?
No, I got it right here.
I thought I was going to have a couple in Cincinnati and Detroit that were going to look great. I have Detroit as well. I think this is their year.
Well, you don't.
Everybody's taking the Bears and Packers. I'm taking Detroit. Maybe we're geniuses. Maybe we're both idiots.
Well, I think it's the second. But I've got Tampa Bay. Hopefully, you don't take them.
No, you're taking
good.
Tampa Bay.
I took
Bay
Tampa
in the
Bay.
South.
I thought that was a wild one.
I think that is. I think the NFC South is the toughest one because I think all four teams are capable. If Cam Newton's hurt, I think, I don't know, Carolina, they know how to win now. Atlanta, I don't think they can make that big a turnaround. They still got some veterans in there. If Steven Jackson's all pro, then they do win the division. The Saints are just too good. I'm taking the Saints. They've got Drew Brees and they've got Sean Payton. And, you know, as long as their defense, you know, can hold you to under 28, you're going to win almost every game you play, and especially at home. And in the West, I'm sold on Seattle. I was not sold on Seattle last year. I was dead wrong. I'll admit that right here. I was dead wrong. I'm taking Seattle to win the West. How about you?
Yeah, when I looked at the thing, I took Seattle to win it, but I took all three teams to make the playoffs.
So you're wild card or who?
San Francisco and Arizona.
Wow.
And that's hard to do, get them out of the same league.
I will. I need to mark my wild cards here, which I see that I haven't done yet. One of them's got to come out of the North. Is it the Bears or the Packers? I don't know. I think the Bears have a lot of tools. I'm going to go with the Bears. I can't believe I'm not picking the Packers to even make the playoffs, but I'm also not picking the Niners. I think they're the most overrated team of the National Football League. Like I thought on Seattle last year, this year I think it's the Niners. The other wild card team, I'm not going to jinx the Cowboys. I really like the Arizona Cardinals. I think you're right. Do I want to agree with you on that? Man, I think you're right, Jimmy. I'm going to agree with you on it. I'm going to take Arizona as the wild card team. All right, who's going to the AFC and the NFC championship game? What do you got broke down here? Well, I don't know how far out you wrote it down. What do you got?
I got Arizona Cardinals and Seattle playing in the championship game in the NFC, if you just want the championship game. And I got the Colts and the Pats playing in the AFC championship game. So the Colts and the Pats are playing in that game, and the Seahawks and the Cardinals.
Okay, I'm going outside the box here. I'll start with the AFC. Ladies and gentlemen, they keep talking about not being able to repeat as a Super Bowl champion or not being able to return. Go back and look at those teams. Look at these Super Bowl teams. Look at your winners. They weren't dynasties. They're these six seeds that get hot for three games. That's why they don't repeat. That is not the case with the Super Bowl champions, the Super Bowl contenders last year. I have Denver playing Cincinnati in the AFC championship game. And in the NFC championship game, I have Seattle taking on the Chicago Bears.
That'll definitely, if that's correct, we can replay this for years.
Hopefully we're not even saving.
Better not save this
audio.
This audio.
So who is in the Super Bowl? Who wins the Super Bowl?
I got the Seattle Seahawks playing the New England Patriots, and I've got Seattle winning.
I'm with you. That's how sold I am. And I was sold on it before last night. I was sold on it in the off season. Whatever Seattle's got, this is the best chance, I think, since New England 10 years ago, and it's an anniversary. It'll be the 15th Super Bowl. I have Seattle over Cincinnati in Super Bowl 49 in Arizona. That's what I've got, Seattle over Cincinnati. We'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, there'll be about five teams in the NFC better than anybody in the AFC.
Let's take a look at our Midtown Mark Cooler question. How will the Huskers fare Saturday against McNeese State? 55% of you said the Huskers will win between 2 and 4 scores, 14-28. 45% says it'll be a 30-35 or bigger game. So there it is, Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. Today, Who is your pick to win the Super Bowl? Jeff gives you six choices, or you can get the field. Broncos, Seahawks, Patriots, Packers, Saints, Niners. We both picked the Seahawks. Who do you folks like? Vote now on ESPNSuperstation.com. Well, the show, obviously, on a day like this, Football Friday, we like to go a little bit longer and talk a lot of football on the show today. Jimmy, is there... You know, the over-unders, they have that. We have Mike Perenio on. He was unable to be with us today because of a meeting out in Vegas, probably about, you know, how much chlorine's in the pool. But, you know, Mike will hopefully join us again next week from Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas. Over-unders, I said San Francisco, under. Arizona, over. Detroit, over. Cincinnati, over. Miami, over. That's a lot more fun to pick the overs. I guess the unders... I still think Oakland stinks, so I'm going to go with them as an under. I think Cleveland's going to stink. I'll take them as an under, and maybe I'm a public person right here. Maybe that's what I'm doing. I'm the public investor. And then in the NFC, I think Washington is going to be an under. Green Bay is going to be an under, and Carolina is going to be an under along with the 49ers. Do you have a real big feeling one way or the other on an over-under?
Don't have a great feeling, I guess, on that. I don't have a great one. I did like Indiana in college football to be an over. Indiana, I thought, might be a little bit better in the Big Ten. They were at 4.5, you know, and I thought, boy, Indiana can, you know, they competed a little bit, you know, and they ended up getting beaten some high-scoring games, but they competed a little bit better, and I thought maybe Indiana in college football. I think Tampa Bay will be maybe an over, and I don't know what Jacksonville, what number you can get them at.
But right, if around five, aren't
yeah,
they?
I was going to say, if you can get them at five exactly, it's a good number to have, because they could go 5-11, you get a push. You know, so I think Jacksonville really improved as the season went on. They were the team that, remember early in the year, it was 38-0, 30, and we thought, oh, is this team ever going to win a game? And they, last eight games, they competed fairly well. And they went into Seattle, I believe, and played pretty well.
Our final notes, let's run down the other world of sports. Volleyball, Huskers are in Dayton for three games this weekend. UNK has just served up the start of their season as they are taking on Western State. They play at 12:15 and 7 both today and tomorrow at the Health and Sports Center. Hastings Volleyball, their own classic is going on all weekend. Their games today are 3-7 and tomorrow 11-3, the third-ranked team in the country tomorrow at 3. And, of course, volleyball going on all weekend for all the teams that are there. Hastings College Football tomorrow at Kansas Wesleyan. Last year the Broncos, one of their wins, 38-20, and you'll hear it at 6 with kickoff at 7 on 12:30 a.m. KHAS. Soccer, UNK opens on the road tonight. Hastings College men are home tonight and tomorrow. Hastings women are down in Kansas. High school football, Grand Island goes to 2-0 last night. A very impressive 28-7 win over Lincoln Southeast. Donovan Trumbull beats Twin River. Wilcox Hildreth wins in six-man. Kearney has their home opener tonight. Hastings, can they get to 2-0? They go out to Scotts Bluff. Northwest, after that very impressive win last week, they get McCook tonight. A lot of volleyball opened up last night. The headliner, Alan Van Cura, wins not once but twice. 800 and 801 career victories, beating Lincoln Christian and Grand Island Central Catholic. So congratulations to the coach there. And finally, as we mentioned, UNK alum Tervel Delognev is competing in Uzbekistan this weekend. He starts wrestling Central Time, 11 o'clock on Sunday night. 11 o'clock on Sunday night, and so all night long. The finals are set at 9 a.m. Monday morning. Loper fans can watch it via live web streaming at fila-official.com. You can go to lopers.com for more information on this as well. UNK Wrestling will also have updates on their Facebook and Twitter. Delognev ranked 16th in the world, was third in the worlds at 2009, fifth in 2011 and 13 this year. He was first at the U.S. Open and World Team Trials, third at the Golden Grand Prix in Azerbaijan. So best of luck. Find out more at lopers.com and the webpage and Facebook and Twitter for UNK Wrestling. Best of luck to Tervel Delognev. Well, you can tell there's a lot going on. We had a lot to talk about, and it keeps being fun. Keeps being fun. Monday, Bo Pelini's press conference here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We get ready for Fresno State. We'll recap the entire weekend in sports. As we said, Tuesday, Daryl Morris, Tony Harper for Lopers and Bronco football. We'll talk to Jared Crick of the Texans on Tuesday, and we just keep rolling along.
Doug, you made a really good comment last week, and I hope our listeners will understand this, that when Miami got beat, That really hurt the Huskers, and it did not help either with Wisconsin losing to LSU. As far as, you know, if Michigan State gets trounced by Oregon, our schedule won't be much fun as we thought it was going to be at the beginning of the year.
Big-time games become bigger when the opponent is good, and Nebraska can find a way to compete and win those football games. So, again, we want to thank Jim Holton, Jared Shaffron from the Tri-City Storm for stopping in. Mike Mandelko going into the Nebraska Football Hall of Fame. We both somehow pick Seattle to win the Super Bowl. Jimmy says over New England. I say over Cincinnati. Enjoy the first weekend of the NFL. A lot of football here on ESPN Radio.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over!